The following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Boone Podcast.
If I get three pairs of shoes from a collective 14 gifts, I'm good.
On today's program, we flip the script on Booney.
With 141, his second home run in as many nights and his 37th of the year.
Today, we stick him under the lights and shove a mic in his face.
And I mean, we're flying through these tree-lined trails going 1,000 miles an hour.
He is CBS Sports Radio host and the executive producer of the Boone Podcast, Rich Herrera.
I want to know about you guys. What was life like growing up around your dad while he was playing when you guys were younger?
Now, in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Brett Boone Podcast. I'm Rich Herrera from the Infinity Sports Network. That is La Ligue Nationale de la Hockey, Le Grand Canard de Anaheim's Brett Boone.
You better believe it.
Le Grand Canard de Anaheim.
This is the type of player I was. I love hockey players. I love hockey players. Least amount of ego.
Right.
All they do is go have a couple beers and get in fights. And
walk around with sticks and knives in their feet.
They're great. They're great.
Can I just get a solo shot? Those of you watching on YouTube, can I just get a solo shot of Brett Boone who dropped the puck the other night at the Honda Center in Anaheim? Look at that. Brett Boone, stand up and show off. Show off that fit that you have for today's program. So as Brett stands up, folks, he is in a home. They're not the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim anymore. They're the Ducks. He's got the Boone jersey. He's got the Fanatics logo on the collar. He's got the NHL logo on his neck. He's got number 29. I mean, that's the real deal.
I loved it. I walked around in it all night.
He's got Anaheim on his chest.
Because you know my rule, Rich.
What's that?
I never wear another man's jersey, ever.
That's dumb.
But this is my jersey.
That's your jersey.
Although I'm a poser because I'm not a hockey player.
No, but you're, it has my name. Did you have a good time?
Right. We had a great time. The fun part was seeing Dad there.
Well, let me set the scene for everybody.
Check the video out. Dad's pretty excited when we push the button.
The Mighty Ducks. I keep saying the Mighty Ducks because I covered them when they were the Mighty Ducks. The Ducks invited Brett to drop the puck before a hockey game in Anaheim this week. So it was Brett, Bob Boone, and your son-in-law, Nick Allen. So the three of you went. Matthew Boone went too, right?
Yeah,
Maddie Boone went. Your mom went. Your daughter Savannah, the whole Boone family went to the hockey game. And then Brett, Bob, and your son-in-law Nick had custom jerseys with your name on the back. And then they have a start to the game. So in Minnesota, they have someone who blows on a horn. There's some teams that push a button, bang a gong, whatever. Anaheim, you push a big button, it starts the whole light show to begin the ball game. So Brett and Bob stood up there and depressed the big plunger to start the show.
Yes, it was kind of WWE.
Yes.
And I got a text with who's the great UFC fighter? Chuck Liddell.
Chuck Liddell did it.
So Chuck Liddell, and I'm watching this video, and I'm going, what is that? And then they told me, oh, this is what you'll be doing. So, you know, the only awkward part, because I'm not an animated guy, I'm not an emotional guy. I don't.
Today's game,
I would suck at the fist pumps and the let's go.
There's a monstrous celebration.
I'm not good at it. I can't fake it. It's like when you get on the dance floor and you say, hey, Brett, can you dance? And I say, no. And you go, oh, come on. Let's go cut the rug. And I go, no, Rich, you don't really understand. I really can't dance. And I'm so awkward. I'm so awkward showing emotion. Like, yeah, fired up, just hit a home run to win the game. I can't even do that on a walk-off because I feel awkward. So I see Chuck Liddell, and he comes out there, and he gives us this big,
right.
You know, and it looks like Chuck Liddell.
Right.
So I'm kind of sitting there before the game. That was my biggest worry of the day. I'm like, how am I going to kind of be cool and hip? But I'm awkward when it comes to getting fired up for something. So, and my kids are trying to tell me, they're like, well, Dad, you could just do a simple this. And I said, should I raise the roof? They said, do not raise
the roof.
So I got it done. I still.
Can I stop you right here?
No, not yet. I watched the video
of Chuck Liddell,
and I still didn't like. No, I watched the video of Chuck Liddell. He was great, and then I watched the video of when I did it, and I did this with your type dad. Of motion. And it looked like I was being awkward, like I am right now.
Like you're just raising your hands up.
Yeah, like, oh, just so silly. And I didn't get much crap from the kids, but that was all right.
So here's my question for men of a certain age. Is that a moment that you discovered that you're no longer cool?
No. I'm always cool.
Yeah, but in that moment, it's awkward. You don't know what to do. I mean, listen, my buddy Z, hold on. My buddy Z says, you know how you could tell that you're middle-aged? You become invisible to teenage girls. Teenage girls don't pay attention to you. You become invisible. And when you get to that certain age, people don't pay attention to you.
Well, I'm not there yet.
Well, I don't know. You're at that age where you didn't know what to do. Raise the roof, do a bat flip, whatever.
Oh, I'm really good at bat flips.
I know,
but those are low key.
Where you know
those aren't things I have to think about and premeditate. Premeditated excitement is really hard for me.
Right,
always has been.
You're a flatliner.
Put it this way: in my prime, at my ultimate peak,
right?
I thought I was the
frosted
coolest,
tips, hair on fire, coolest, Brett Boone.
I still sucked at this. Sucked. I'm the worst. Anyway, we got it done. I had a good time.
Cool?
I saw the look on Dad's face and the smile. That made it worth it for me. And I could say, all right, I was dorky and trying to pump up the crowd. But we got it done. We got it done.
Are you still cool?
My cool. It depends. Cool in life? Absolutely.
Wait a minute. Do you ever look in the mirror and go, what am I wearing?
Cool for 55.
How old am I?
Absolutely cool.
Do you wear dad jeans?
Cool. No. Cool in my kids' eyes? Absolutely not.
Right. That's what I'm asking.
Absolutely not. But show me a 55-year-old that have respectable children that they're cool in the kids' eyes.
I don't know.
I don't think so. You're never cool. You're never hip. It's always, especially when you go into their environment. Now, if I'm going to an event, a baseball event, an arena. I'm
that's
cool
in your wheelhouse.
I'm cool because they're with me.
You're the
anywhere outside of it. If I'm going anywhere to one of the kids' events around their peers, I'm not cool at all. I figured that out. I haven't been cool. By the way, I haven't been cool in that arena for a long time. I mean, starting with Savannah in high school, she kind of gave me the side eye. Would she
drop her off like a block away?
No, she was never like, my kids were never like that. They were never, well, as far as I know, they were never ashamed of me, but I definitely wasn't the, hey, can Dad hang out with you guys at the sleepover tonight? Get out of here.
But I'm like, okay, so did you ever go visit her at school?
Yeah. Oh, Savannah was great. Yeah.
So when you showed up, were you the cool dad showing up at school?
I don't know. I think when you get to school, when you get to the college level, the kids they're growing up a little bit and they're kind of at that awkward stage. They're not kids anymore, but they're not mature adults, but they can have an adult conversation. So yeah, it was more of an adult situation when you get to especially the later years of college for Savannah. So I could sit down and I'd go up and have lunch and she'd bring a couple of her friends with her and they weren't kids anymore. You know, you could have an adult conversation. So I wasn't cool, but I wasn't uncool.
Do you ever make the noise when you get up? The old man noises?
No.
You don't make old. Come on. You have to make. No, you're 55. No. You have to make old man noises.
No, that's premeditated. I don't do that because you don't have to do that. It's like when I sneeze in the house. I sneeze really loud. And they said, Dad, why do you have to like do that? I've seen you on an airplane when you didn't want to draw attention to yourself. You really you pull it back. I said, yeah, but it hurts more. It hurts less when you just let out the huge sneeze because they always say that I do it on purpose to bug them. And I say, no, I don't do it to bug you. I do it because it hurts less if I don't have to curtail it on an airplane or in a place where, you know, we're in, hey, it's really, it's really important that we're not loud here. When you've got to sneeze real bad, it's an uncomfortable, like, all right, how am I going to, how am I? And it's there. And then when you get away with it and it's just a little, you're thinking, what a great job I just did. But it was a lot of work at home. I don't need to do that. I do what I want. This is
my approach. Anyone in your family ever stop you from going like, Brett, you can't wear that out in public?
No, I'm pretty good at it. I'm not hip, but I'm not. Oh, look at what Dad's wearing again. Now on the daily, I think I'm pretty much a shorts t-shirt because it's an all.
Well, you live in San Diego, so it's not like you live in Buffalo.
Unless I'm playing golf, it's get up shorts t-shirt because it's all encompassing. I can go to an event if I have to. I go to the gym. I go to the beach. And the uniform works all around. Unless I'm golfing, then I'll have golf gear on. But then I can't go to the gym after golf because I got to go change. So, yeah, I would say
it's tough being Brett Boone.
I would say my kids on the daily, if they were to critique me on, they'd be like, he's got tired. It's the same. It's not the same shorts and same shirt, but it's the same look.
The look's every day. Tired.
But I go to my stepgirls for fashion advice.
Well, then, yeah.
If I'm going out for an event, I'll come down. What do you think? It's all right. And then I'll change shirts and oh, that looks good. So, okay. I'm hip enough.
As long as the girls take care of you. Let me tell you a couple things.
I've never been a fashion icon. Even in my day, I was never that guy that just styled Beyonce. I always looked fine in the middle.
Did you spend stupid money on stupid shirts?
No, nope. Nope, never was a big wardrobe guy that had to have this. And
wait a second. Did you ever own what were those? Ed Harvey shirts? Ed Harvey shirts? Do you remember those? Ed Hardy shirts. Do you remember those?
Yes.
Did you own one of those?
Yes.
Like a $200 t-shirt?
Yes. Stupid. I'm not a watch guy, but I've had a Rolex. I've had a Rolex with the diamonds on it. Not my thing, but I've had them. Okay. Doesn't mean I haven't experienced what society would call elegance and class. I'm not an elegant
individual.
I'm not a jewelry wearing, watch wearing. I like a nice suit.
Right.
It doesn't have to be $10,000. I can get a nice suit for
$125 at the Goodwill.
No, can't do that. It always says that it's not the suit. It's who's wearing the suit that makes the suit. But you don't have to spend $10,000, but a couple $1,000 suit, you're going to know that you got a nice suit. Now you go down the street and get a $200 suit. Well, you better be really cool with a really good frame to pull that off.
Like me. Let's get to a couple pieces of business for everybody here on the Brett Boone Podcast. Friday, the 25th.
That's today. We're Friday, coming out the 25th, today, right now, tonight.
October 25th is game one of the 2024 World Series, and we are going to host a watch party. The Brett Boone Podcast will go live on YouTube today for game one of the World Series, and we have a whole bunch of special guests. You're going to be able to watch the game along with us. They call it second stream content. We kind of practiced last week for one of the Yankee games. We're going full-blown. Jump into the deep end of the pool. Coming up for game one, we're going to have Brett and I will be along. And what you do is you watch the game on Fox, and then you have us on a second screen, on an iPad, on a laptop, on your phone. And you can watch the game along with us, hear our commentary, what we're going to talk. We're not going to do the play-by-play. We're going to touch about what's going on in the game, and you're just going to sit there and listen to us BS. Now, that's going to be fun, but we have some special guests. They're going to join us on the podcast as well. So, Brett, you want me to run through, or you want to tell everybody who's going to be joining us for the special Brett Boone Podcast live?
No, I picked the guys. I just thought they're all fun. They're all buddies of mine in different ways, though. We're going to have early in the game, second inning, we're going to have Ron Say.
The Penguin.
And just a blast from the past.
Battled your dad for so many years. Oh,
my childhood. It's right up my alley. So I'm looking forward to that old school storytelling. I could listen to the old school all night. And then we got Chipper Jones, teammate of mine. I love Chipper.
Hall of Famer.
Great. oh, he's got big opinions and he'll be fun. He's going to join us. Then Andrew Jones, another teammate of mine who love Andrew. He's great. He's friend.
You guys
of mine,
played together in Atlanta, right?
Yeah. He's kind of like Mike Cameron to me. Just a great, I don't know. They're very similar in their personalities. Love
you guys
him.
All played in the World Series together.
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
We got whooped by the Yankees. And then the guy that whooped us will be closing it out in the eighth inning as of now.
Scheduled to appear.
Him in. Yes. He's 99% in.
Right.
But, we're going to have Tino Martinez join us at the end, who I told Tino, I said, you can tell the stories how you broke my heart on several occasions in the Bronx in the postseason. So we'll have Tino join us. So it's a good lineup. I'm looking forward to it.
So coming up, Game 1 World Series on YouTube. Find the Brett Boone podcast on YouTube.
I will put it out. We are working on it now. I will have the link out on all my social media. Rich will have it on his social media, the link that you can click. Michael, our fearless producer behind the
scenes. Mike Raffone. His last name is Raffone. Yeah.
He's working on it as we speak. But I'll get it out to as many venues as I can out on social media. And Odyssey, I think, will be covering it. I'm going to ask Odyssey to tweet it out, put it out on the Instagram. So just click on that link and you'll
on the gram.
Just click on that link. You'll go right into the studio if you want. I'd love to have you come along. Yeah. So this is the.
And you'll be. And by the way, you'll be able to ask questions. We'll have the live chat going, and you'll be able to. We'll follow along, so you'll be able to talk to us as well. Ask questions.
Yeah, very cool.
Ron Say, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, Tino Martinez, all joining the Brett Boone podcast.
Possibly Piazza will be a special guest mid game. We'll see.
And if this goes well, maybe we'll do a couple more games during the World Series as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get right into it. It's been about 4 or 5 days. Let me start with this. You played in the World Series. I brought it up. You made
hey, Rich, World Series. What about my hunting trip?
What about your hunting trip?
We had a big hunting trip. You haven't even covered that. All right.
I have it on my list of things that we're going to talk about. I'll get to that.
Get into the board.
All right, let's get to the World Series. Yeah, that's what people want to talk about. You made it to the World Series of the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah.
So you played in the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me your thoughts, your memories. What stands out that you remember from that opportunity to play in the Fall Classic?
I remember the venue. I remember, you know, and people, and when people are breaking down the series right now, LA's glitz and glamour, bright lights, bright birds chirping, good weather. That's not scary scenario. Usually you're starting the game. They're starting the game at 5 o'clock. It's sunny.
Shadows.
Yeah, shadows, but it's sunny. It's not a scary environment. You go to the Bronx in October where it's cold and windy and that sky is dark. It's kind of spooky. It's spooky in a good way, though. Unbelievable atmosphere. And I remember that game 3. And I've told this story before, lining up on the sidelines, getting my sprints in before the game. Things I've done a million times, 20 times at Yankee Stadium. And all of a sudden, something comes over me like something different. This is different. I'm somewhere different. And I think that's one of the unique features of being at Yankee Stadium in the postseason is you can close your eyes and you know, I don't mean to be woo woo or weird, but you can close your eyes.
Right.
And you know, you're somewhere special. And I had that come over me at Yankee Stadium and I had to gather myself. I ran into the dugout, went back up in the clubhouse and I just kind of had to take a moment to get a grip on it. Now, once that first pitch was thrown and I was out there and in the middle of it, now it was another game for me. But I remember that. Nothing like the World Series and nothing like winning. Rich, in 99, I went there with a great Braves team. We were really good. Won 100, and I don't know what we won that year. And we kind of went through the postseason pretty systematically, mm-hmm. like we're the Braves and we're just going to run through you. And we got to the postseason and we knew we were facing a really good Yankees team in 99, but we thought we could handle them and we got whooped. And I remember after that first experience in the World Series, I thought, you know, I got plenty of time. I said, yeah, I'm going to get back to a World Series and win one before it's all over. It was all said and done. I didn't have a ring and I never won a World Series. So today when I watch this postseason, I watch these World Series, man, I just think I hope those players appreciate what they have, because so few of us get to play in a World Series, let alone win one. And then you look at the epitome of it, and that was that Yankees team that won four or five rings. And to think how statistically how unlikely that is, and but how special that is. It's just it's unbelievable, because it's just really hard to do. It's really hard.
Well, while you're in this mode of reminiscing and thinking about it, let me just throw out your little brother, Aaron.
He's been to one World Series. That home run that he hit in 03 sent them to the World Series. They didn't win. They lost. So he's been there as a player. This is his first time as a manager. And
to watch your little brother make it to the World Series.
Really cool. And it was really cool because I know what it's like in New York. And he's constantly under a magnifying glass, constantly being critiqued. The expectations in New York are, as I say all the time, very unrealistic expectations. But nevertheless, that's what makes New York, New York. And for him to make it in when they clinched, I could see that it was almost like a sigh of relief. Like, okay, we made it. Get these guys off my back at least for a week. You know, now you got to win it, though, because you're still going to have the haters if you don't win in New York.
Right.
But I was really happy for him. I know the passion that he brings to the game every day. And how bad he wanted this doesn't mean that everybody else doesn't want it just as bad, but for it to be your brother and to know the grind he's been on for the last 6-7 years with the Yankees to finally make it to his first World Series as manager, I was very, very happy for him. You know, this series is really unique. It's like a storybook. It's East Coast, West Coast. It's, as you mentioned, it's Doc Roberts, the UCLA Bruin, against Aaron Boone, USC Trojan. It's Ohtani against Judge. The storyline goes on and on. Doc Rogers in a similar position, Aaron Boone. You're hearing whispers during the postseason. Is this the last run for Roberts if he doesn't make it to the World Series? Well, he made it to the World Series. So in a way, you know, Doc is a friend of mine. I was happy for him that he made it. So I think it's a storybook. It's the perfect movie line for East Coast versus West Coast. I think it's going to be a great series.
Your little brother, watching him put up with everything that comes along with the job. Put up's not the right word. Let me rephrase this. Your little brother, with all the stress and trials and tribulations, how nice is it to see him get there? How do you think he handles all that pressure of everybody and their brother loving him when they win? They win 10 games in a row and everybody loves him. They lose one in extra innings on a bad call, on an error that somebody ran onto the field and knocked a player over and stole the ball, and it caused the Yankees to lose the game by nobody's fault other than this crazy act of God, and 25 people are lined up to call the WFAN to fire him. I mean, that's kind of what the job is. I mean, everybody loves him when he wins, and no matter what happens, he is a bum when they lose. Tell me about watching that as his big brother, that just the pressure that he's in, the pressure he has every day as he walks on, puts on that NY cap, and he gets richly rewarded for having that job, but it can be thankless at times. And then how he handles all that pressure, because I think it's very interesting. I think all good leaders do this. They take the slings and arrows, and he shields his teams a lot of time with his own body. Everybody gets mad at him, and they leave Soto and Judge and everybody else alone at times.
Well, that's, you know, what you signed up for, you know, and he's been doing this a long time as a player and now as a manager. It's like, this is what we sign up for. This is the big leagues. It's not the little leagues where we take it easy on you. So you're used to it at this stage of your career. You know, you're older, you're wiser. You've been through the trials and the tribulations. Aaron's been through a lot.
No, but I mean, you watching him, you being his big brother.
I know that he handles it fine. Yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, some of the criticism's very unfair. But that's sports. And that's why you get paid so much to play sports, is this comes along with it. If you don't like it, there's a lot of other occupations you can go out and do and not be criticized at all. You want to be a great player in this game? Well, you're going to make a ton of money. Downside is, when you don't produce, you're going to be on the cover of the newspaper.
Of the New York Post,
if you're the league minimum extra player and you don't play well, nobody cares and nobody wants to talk about it.
Pressure's a problem, yeah, right?
Right. It's a catch 22. You want to be great. You want to make a ton of money. You want to have a ton of perks. Well, I'll tell you what, when things go bad, you're going to have to answer the bell. He knows that. When you're the skipper, you're going to have to answer the bell, good, bad, and different, whether it's fair, it's not fair. And a lot of times it's not fair. You know my philosophy. Managers don't win games. Players win games. Players lose games. But managers get the credit for losing games, if that makes sense.
They take the blame.
That's the nature of the beast. It's always been that way. And I think it's nice when you get to this point of the season, when you made it to the World Series, and all those critics that ask you those stupid questions every night. Aaron's like probably sitting. Yeah, like you. Aaron's sitting in that room right now going, how are we looking? Pretty good. Now, if you win, you can even give a wryer smile to those guys. How'd we do? But you got to wait till you win. You still stay humble as much as you can. But giving some guys some slings and arrows back when things really go well, I think is I think that's fair game. That's how I'd handle it with the media. That's how that's what my relationship was with the media when I was a player, because I expected them to be critical of me when I wasn't getting the job done. I expected them to do it fair. I expected them.
But did you ever take it personally?
No, I didn't.
For someone that you were really close with.
I learned not to. I learned that it as writers and as media and as beat writers, that was your job. And it wasn't always easy because you had relationships with players. You had good relationships. You were friends with the players. But you've got to do your job. And when things are tough, that means sometimes you got to be a little critical of maybe your friend or your favorite player on the team. I understood that. I understood they had a job to do. If I was playing terrible, not living up to, you know, if I'm hitting third in the lineup and one of the highest paid players on the team, and I'm not getting it done, and it would be weird if I wasn't criticized.
No, what would guys say to you if they're like, if it's somebody who's always been a big fan of Boone, you suck this week and you made two errors and he's going to rip into you. Did you want him to give you a heads up first, or did you want to read it the next day and be completely surprised?
But usually they would. I had a good relationship with the media. So they said, Booney, you know, I hate to do it, but I have to do it. I just want to let you know there's going to be kind of a critical piece coming out on you tomorrow. And I'd say, listen, that's your job. Just did you do it with class? And they said, yeah, always.
Would you ever get anybody that would take a cheap shot at you? And
I think when you're on the road, you know, being on the beat, when you have to live with the team and you travel with the team and you're there every day, you're going to be a little guarded on whether how much you rip a player, because you got to live with them. It was easy to go into a different city. And you're only going to be there, and they're looking at the calendar, and you've got three games, these next three games, and then we don't see you
open season
next year. Oh, baby. You know, back then, though, it wasn't so much the phone and the internet. It was somebody might call you from Kansas City and go, hey, Brett, when you left, you should have seen this article that was written about you. You know, so it was less visible back then. But, yeah, usually the cheap shots and the real what I called unprofessional criticism would come when you were in an enemy city, you know, when you were the visiting team, and after you left it, you'd usually get ripped.
Now, you know me, I'm pretty fair, and I don't really go after somebody unless there's really a reason to go after somebody. I've been bumped before, like a player will walk by and give me a shoulder, like when we're in junior high and you want to knock somebody's books down. I've had a couple guys go to the PR director and the PR director's in my face about something I've said. I've only had twice where I got confronted, where I had a player step up and poke me in the chest, telling me I didn't know what I was talking about. So I've been pretty fortunate that I've always said I'll never say anything to somebody on the radio that I never say to your face. But I've had a few couple run-ins. Did you ever have anybody that just didn't like Boone, and no matter what you did, they were just going to rip into you, either TV, radio, or newspaper?
Sure.
They were just enemies of the Boone?
Sure. And it wasn't fair. It wasn't warranted. It was a personal thing. I didn't give it much thought, really. Didn't care. I would never get to a point where it would get physical. You're not worth that to me to get into a physical altercation. I never had somebody go deep enough with criticism where it would warrant physical altercation. So, but yeah, I definitely, especially early in my career, I had a lot of negative things because I was young. I was arrogant. I don't know about arrogant, but I was pretty confident.
I saw you were arrogant.
And I'd let you know. And I deserve some of that. So a lot of early, because you had a lot of people that questioned it. Oh, first, third generation. Oh, how, you know, and a lot of people want to see you fail.
Right.
And I understood that. I understood that even at 22 years old. It's like, this is a part of the deal. And everybody's not going to love you and want you to do great. Once again, go back to my dad's, the best advice he ever gave me that I listened to, you know, life,
which is
life ain't fair. When you realize that, Brett, you got a chance.
Okay.
But to sit there and worry about everything and, oh, this guy's mean to me, it's like, who cares?
Well, that,
and
another
guy's
going to
be mean to you. And another guy's going to be mean to you. What are you going to do about it? You going to let that affect you, or are you going to move on? And dad was always there, you know, telling me life ain't fair. When you realize that, you got one leg up, and it's going to be a lot easier for you on your journey.
That's easy to say when it's you. But what about your mom and dad? How do they react listening to the criticism, fair, sure, unfair of Aaron?
That's unique, because I've never been in that situation. He's a sibling of mine. So when I hear it, I laugh and I think these people are clueless on what they say. They don't know Aaron. They don't know what makes him tick. They don't know what he's like behind the scenes. So I chalk it up to ignorance, not ignorance of knowing. Right. So it doesn't bother me that much. And I know Aaron's a big, big boy and he can handle himself. That being said, put myself in a parental situation with my kids being critiqued the way Aaron was, I'd probably be a little bit more of a papa bear than I am a papa brother. You know what I'm saying? I'll still defend Aaron if you're wrong. He doesn't need me to defend him. He can defend himself. But if somebody says something that's completely comes from a knowledgeless place, I will check you and tell you, and I don't care if he's my brother and I'm not being biased and I'm not sticking up for my little brother. I'm just telling you as an analyst, as a member of the media, what is right and what is wrong and what you don't know and why your take is so incorrect. And I'll do that with anybody. But from a family perspective,
yeah, how does Sue Boone react?
Especially moms, you know, moms are different.
Sue Boone will not take garbage from people. Right.
Bob Boone, he's been there. He's done that. He's lived it. He knows what it's like. He knows Aaron's a big boy and he can handle himself. But moms, I always wonder about that, because my mom will call me, they're being mean to your brother on talk radio. And I said, so what? My mother is more well-versed than maybe anyone walking this planet. She's lived through grandpa. She was walked hand to hand with my dad for a 19-year big league career. She went to every one of my games that she could. She went to every one of Aaron's games that she could.
And Matthew's
games in the minor leagues. She's been to all my kids' games. She goes to Jacob Boone's games. Sue Boone is one of the most knowledgeable, experienced people in the game of baseball from generation to generation to generation, but she's still a mom. And I say, Mom, think about when you were in Philly driving home from the vet and dad was in a rough streak and the Phillies weren't playing well. They used to bury him on the radio. She goes, yeah, I know. And I said, you've been through this. But I think it's different when it's your husband versus your little boy. So I often wonder how moms deal with it. They're mothers, you know, they're special people. And I think they come at it from it. They're built differently. And I think as a father, even I would probably be different with one of my kids as I am with my brother. Cause I know my brother's well equipped for what's coming to him. I also think it's different between women and men. I think if people were critical of my daughter, man, that would be. That would be fighting words for me.
Dads will stand up for their daughters.
Right. Moms versus stand up for their versus sons. Being critical of my boys. Yes, I'm still going to defend it, but I just think, hey, they can fight. They're equipped to fight on their own.
By the way,
you tend to come to the rescue of people that you feel that you need to protect.
Right. By the way, who's going to game one? Because obviously people have been asking, hey, do the Boones have any tickets to Dodger Stadium?
Mom's going to go. Aaron's wife, Laura, and Bella, their daughter, is going to go. And Sergo is going to come over. He lives in Arizona. He's going to go over and meet the boys.
Right.
We've got Jake's going. Game one, Judah's going to be there. Then he's coming home to me in San Diego because he's got a doctor's appointment. Game two, Isaiah's going to step in.
Oh, so Isaiah's, the twins will just be interchangeable.
Right. Isaiah's got to work on Friday. So he's headed up to LA after work. He's going to stay the night with the whole group. And then Judah's going to leave there after he goes to game one, come home, and Isaiah's going to go to game two in LA, and then they're all going to come home. So
how excited is the Boone family for this?
I would say Isaiah and Judah are more about the event and hanging out with their cousins.
Right, because they're going to go to the pregame parties and everything, right?
Right. I think Jake's just pumped up because he's Jake and he loves the game of baseball and he's excited and he's pulling for the Yankees. I mean, Jake's like a Yankee fan.
Are they all going to wear Yankee gear?
I think so. I don't think Jake will. I think the boys, Isaiah's got a Judge jersey. I think he's going to be rocking.
Okay.
My mom will have a Yankee hat on. My mom is, she's been to so many of these games, but she's going to be nervous for Aaron and critiquing. Sure. Do you think Aaron's doing okay? Well, I won't be there, so I won't have to hear.
She can watch on our live stream. She could take her phone and watch it on YouTube and listen to what we have to say.
She could if she wanted to.
Yeah. So tell Jake to set that up because we'll be doing a watch party for the World Series.
Yeah, I'll have Jake set it up.
Yeah, have this. Is it so? Okay, let me one more thing. Since we're talking about the family affair, do you remember the first time ever hearing somebody just trash your dad, whether it was in the stands, on the radio, or television? What's that like? But the first time you heard somebody go, "Bob Boone, he's a bum."
No. Mark Stoltz, the little man who we had on a few weeks ago, he used to say that about dad. Dad's a bum lately. And we're like seven. And then Mark would come to dinner with us later in the week. And, "Oh, hi, Mr. Boone. How are you doing today?" And
I'd say, "Eddie Haskell.
Hey, Mark." Yeah, that's a great call. He was Eddie. For those of you that don't know who Eddie Haskell is, Leave It to Beaver. That was tremendous, Rich, by the
Thank
way.
You.
That is a tremendous comparison right there.
Thank you. So,
but
you,
no,
you put him on the spot. What did you say about my dad last week?
Right.
No, but I mean, but
that was harmless. Stranger. That was in a kidding way to me to get under my gun.
Put in a stranger. I mean, no, you go.
I was subject to it at such a young age. I mean, I was in the stands at 4 years old, 5 years old with mom. Then by the time I was five, I'd be down in the clubhouse before the game, so I wouldn't deal. But I remember as a kid hearing. Especially in Philly, because nobody was safe. Mike Schmidt right. got booed out of the Veterans Stadium, one of the greatest players of all time. If he's going to get booed, I think Bob Boone is subject to being booed. So, yeah, I didn't really let it affect me because I was around it so much. I heard and they weren't just saying, I didn't hear in my brain, "Your dad stinks." I heard on that given night, "My dad stinks, but tomorrow night, Pete Rose stinks and Bake McBride,
okay,
and Mike Schmidt, they all stink."
You saw the big picture.
So I didn't take it personal.
Home field advantage. We talked about Dodger Stadium. It is going to be glamorous. Dodger Stadium is beautiful. It is an iconic old ballpark that has patina of being iconic, but has all the modern amenities. Yankee Stadium, the new Yankee Stadium, has all the amenities, and it tries to look like an old ballpark, even though it's really not. I mean, if you think about it, Dodger Right. Stadium, old ballpark that does everything it can to be modern. Yankee Stadium, brand new ballpark that does everything it can to be ancient and iconic.
Right.
Home field advantage. You said Yankee Stadium.
Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Just because it can be spooky. First time in the postseason for an opponent. Witnessed it.
Home field advantage. How about fans, though? I mean, the Dodger fans are going to be crazy for game one.
Equal as far as passion.
Which is unusual because the Dodger Stadium used to be so laid back. Now,
they want that World Series title. They're like Raider fans.
They're like Raider fans. Yeah, you remember? Well, you wouldn't know because you left the World Series early and didn't see Gibson hit the home run. But when you watch the highlights, all those people that left the ball game, they got there late. They leave early.
In LA. But I'll tell you what, in New York, they're fashionably late too. You'll see. I'll guarantee you tune in the first inning of the World Series. You'll see the big wig seats right behind home. They're not filled in yet.
Yeah, they're sitting back in the club eating. Yeah,
right. Yankee fans get there a little bit late too, but LA is famous for that. Getting there late.
I think they're going to be there early and it's going to be loud. All right. So if I was doing Mount Rushmore of iconic teams,
right.
If I did the most iconic teams classic teams in baseball. Yankees, Dodgers,
Cardinals,
St. Louis Cardinals. I have that on my list. Who's the fourth?
Red Sox.
Yeah. I think,
you know, I don't think that's close. Is there anybody nipping?
I said Red Sox after Cardinals, but is there anybody close to being iconic to,
I think,
to the Red Sox?
Oldest team, Cincinnati Reds.
Are they iconic as the Red Sox? What about the Tigers with that old English D?
Tigers. Cubs are in the conversation.
Right.
In the modern era, Atlanta Braves. But that's the modern era. That's not the history of
the game. But if you just go back, history of the game, Yankees, Dodgers, Cardinals, Red Sox, I think you're right. Let's talk about intangibles as we get ready for the game coming up later today. I got a couple. We'll just go rapid fire. You ready? Will Shohei Ohtani pitch?
No.
Would you let him?
If everybody signed off on it and Shohei...
he's been throwing...
was ready to go, and he gave me the nod, I'm ready to go. Sure. If it presented itself, I wouldn't force it. I wouldn't start him. He's not ready to start. But if he told me to give me an inning, I might. Yeah. And you know what? I might be talking a little smack here. I don't know. You got to think. He hasn't pitched in over a year. He hasn't been in a spring training setting.
He's throwing
How effective is he going to be, and are you going to be willing to go out on a limb for one inning to get the Shohei Ohtani effect with not knowing the outcome? Might be an unbelievable. He might blow away three hitters, and it might be a nightmare. So, no, when I really think about it, it's probably something let's put on the back burner. It's a great thought, but we'll do protocol. We'll make sure it's good and healed. We have the whole offseason to get ready for next year. He's such a commodity. If something went wrong out on the mound and I couldn't use him as a hitter, no, at this stage, the more I think about it, I wouldn't use him.
Okay, so it's game 7, Yankee Stadium, 15th inning. I am out of pitchers.
Oh.
And I can either go with the position player.
Oh, you're going to go with Shohei, without a doubt. But that's absolutely pull the ripcord emergency time.
Because we talked about
anything short of that, I'm going to let the investment I have in Shohei Ohtani and how important it is in his health and his body. I'm not going to risk that at all by one inning where he's going to be hyped. The adrenaline's going to be pumping. He might go over the limit, what he should be doing. I'm not going to risk for 1 second the future of that right arm. And especially if he hurt it, what if he hurt his arm and all of a sudden he couldn't hit?
Right. No, so I get it.
No, the more I think about it, sound mind, I'm going to put that back burner. Now, that scenario, though, 15th inning, I'm out of pitchers, and I got Shohei or another position player. Well, then it's different. That's ripcord time.
That's bringing back the big unit or Curt Schilling on no day's rest to try to finish off
Madison Bumgarner. Yeah.
One of the interesting things are, the Yankees offense is so prolific. The Dodgers offense is so prolific, but the on-base percentage for this World Series has been crazy. Waiting for Aaron Judge to get hot. But you know what? Aaron Judge has been getting on base throughout the playoffs. Are we going to see the same patience in this big stage, you think? And you're going to get to some bullpens and some middle relievers? Cause it seems like we're seeing a lot of pitches and we're going deep into bullpens on both sides.
Well, today that's what you're paid for. In my day, it was average home runs, RBIs. Nowadays, it's heavily weighted to OPS. It's weighted to on-base percentage. So you see the strategy of hitters coming up in the modern era is working counts, controlling the strike zone. That's what's important. That's what ball clubs want to see. That's what people pay for. So you see more and more players putting that into their skill set. That being said, I think the Yankees are very patient. They have the ability to have long at-bats, 5, 6, 7 pitch at-bats. That's the Yankees' way. That's the way they've been. Look at the Dodgers, same thing. They've got patient, really good hitters from Ohtani to Betts to Freddie Freeman to Muncy. Teoscar Hernandez, kind of a free swinger. But with the exception of that, both of these teams really control the strike zone. And offensively, you know, you go with the top stars. So Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, well, pretty good match in Ohtani and Mookie Betts. That's a pretty fair match. But I think when you get to the secondary stars, and I'm talking about the Muncies, the Will Smiths, the Teoscar Hernandezes, I give the slight advantage to the Dodgers on length of lineup. They tend to have a longer lineup that can hurt you. I think you saw this in the last round for the Dodgers. Edmonds hits a home run, drives in four in the last game. Unsung hero, you wouldn't expect it from him. Kike Hernandez, man, he had a couple big home runs. You don't expect it from Kike Hernandez. I think the Yankees, to match that in this series, we're going to have to see somebody emerge. Now, a Jazz Chisholm, who when
okay, let me hold on. Let me put you on the spot then. Give me the one X factor on both sides that's not in the middle of the lineup that needs to have one.
Are we talking about from an offensive?
Okay, give me one guy that has to have.
The Dodgers are going to be Max Muncy, and on the Yankee side, it's going to be Jazz Chisholm. X-Factors. Just strictly offense.
Wow. It's going to be a great World Series. I mean, and you talked to Buster only this week on the podcast, last podcast we did, the amount of Hall of Famers that we have in this World Series.
Not only Hall of Famers, MVPs we've had.
Right.
Look at the MVP list. There's like seven or eight in the dugout that have won MVP awards. There's only two of those a year given out.
Yeah. No, I mean, listen, I think both managers have a lot of similarities. You know, both of them, you know, Dave Roberts well, you know, Aaron a little bit, both teams seem like they have a lot in common. I mean, this is going to be one heck of a World Series.
This is a storybook. This is a movie script,
right?
Everything I mentioned.
Broadway versus Hollywood.
Yeah. It's a movie script.
Don't forget, coming up tonight, game one of the World Series, Brett and I will do a live stream on YouTube, Brett Boone Podcast. Follow Brett on social media. I'll put it out as well. We'll give you a link so you could join us. Ron Say is going to join us. We will have Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, Tito Martinez all join us tonight on YouTube for the game. I think that's all I wanted to wrap up with today. I do want to touch on the hunting trip because Brett actually came back from, I don't know, where were you at, a Cabela's or something? It looked like Idaho. In the background.
Idaho, beautiful. Another fun trip.
Did you bring me anything back?
We got an elk and a deer.
Okay, I could take some jerky.
We've already had arguments in the house because the girls are stealing Jake's deer meat, and that's and Jake, I got that off the mountain and.
Hunters and gatherers,
it's always a great trip. You know, my buddy who owns the ranch, Gus, has been a longtime friend of mine, and I'm not the biggest hunter in the world. I like to hunt. I love if you harvest an animal and fill up that freezer for the off season for the winter, but it's the event. It's going up there. It's the guys I get to go up there with. As Dad's getting older, you start to really treasure those times that he gets to spend up there and have his grandkids with him now. It was a really fun trip.
And
I don't go anywhere for more than 3 or 4 days, and I was there for 6 days. I was ready to come home, but it was a good trip.
And you took Isaiah with you.
We took Isaiah. He's catching fish out the back. I mean, we'd be 11 o'clock at night. Where's Isaiah? Oh, he's fishing in the back. It's 2 degrees. He's fishing, catching trout out of the lake. So
you better be careful.
It was Isaiah's first time. He's hooked. He wants to go every year.
He might leave beautiful San Diego and head to work on the Yellowstone.
Yeah, it's a special place.
That's awesome. All right. Are we done? Is that it? Do you have anything else you want to add?
We're done. Mike's giving me the wrap-up sign now. I can see him behind the scenes. I can picture him right now.
Yeah, Mr. Rafone says, let's get out of here because we got to get back to work later tonight. We'll be back with you a little bit later for our live stream. Ron Say, Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, Tino Martinez. It'll be unique. You'll never see this array of baseball stars on one broadcast. We'll be doing it tonight on YouTube. Second screen content for a watch-along party. So you'll watch the game on Fox. Hang out with us on YouTube. Until then, thanks for joining us, everybody. This is the Brett Boone Podcast.